Now please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Very short verse. We'll take that as our text. I would like for you to be looking at it in your Bible. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. That is probably a translation you're not familiar with. It is an essentially literal modern translation. And I think that the New International was primarily translated for the purpose of providing people for whom English is a second language with a translation that they could understand. So it's much simplified than some of the essential literal translations like the New King James and the New American Standard. But this is the reading of Philippians 2 verse 14 from the New International Version. Do everything without complaining or arguing. And that is an exactly correct translation of that passage. You may be seeing where it says murmuring or disputing, which means the same thing, but I think it's more easily understood if we see that very literal translation in modern language from the New International. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Those two things seem to go together, don't they? There was a song, a children's song, don't worry, I won't sing it to you, that we used to sing up in northern New York. And that was the name of the song, Do Everything Without Complaining or Arguing. And there was a dairy farming couple who helped us start that congregation. The four of us went together to become a congregation. And they raised six children on a dairy farm in a place where sometimes on a January morning when they went outside at 4:30 to milk the cows, it could be 50 below zero, or at least 40 below zero. And so that was their song every morning with the children in the barn. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Which goes ahead and say that you may become blameless and pure children of God. By the way, that's verse 15. It's a really good song that we need to all at least practice if we don't know the song, because it comes directly from a command of God given by the inspired Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, in contrast with that, when we lived in Florida years ago, I had a gospel meeting out west, and so it was two time zones to the west from where I lived at that time. I flew out for this gospel meeting and stayed with the local preacher. He picked me up at the airport, and so I was completely dependent on him that entire week for transportation, a place to stay, etc., etc. Usually that's not a problem at all. And I enjoy being with the local preacher, getting to know him and his family, and appreciate their hospitality. But in this instance, it was a miserable week. I have never been around a man who did more complaining about everything that happened. Nobody, no situation, nothing could please him. Everything was an opportunity to complain, including, by the way, about me. But not just me. At least everybody else, including his family, were targets of his complaining also. But I do remember a couple of things. He had a small car that we rode around in, and I was in the passenger seat. And I'm small myself, so usually I can fit in a place that and is no problem. But I made the mistake of crossing my legs, and my foot brushed against the dash. And he informed me that he did not allow people to touch the dash with their feet, keep my feet off the dash, which I did. Of course, being from 2 hours more advanced in time, you know, in Eastern time, it's 2 hours ahead of Western time, I woke up early. I wake up early anyway. That's just the way I am. At home, I wake up at 5 or 5:30. Well, out there, guess how, you know, when I was waking up. So I would try to sit quietly in my room and do some reading and studying. He informed me that my getting up before 7 o'clock, now that was about 3 or 4 hours after I was waking up. But my getting up before 7 o'clock was waking him up, and he needed his sleep. And I was supposed to stay in bed, I guess with the light off, until he got well. You need to say, I was glad when that week was over. Now, hopefully you haven't had to endure somebody that was that much of a complainer. But that is something that we all, if we don't watch ourselves, we fall prey to. And what it does is betray attitudes that are sinful. You know, whatever comes out our mouth had its origination in our brain. Whether we realize that it went through our brain or not. Sometimes it comes out of our mouth so fast we don't realize that it was in our brain. But whatever it comes out of the mouth is a revelation of what's in the heart, and that's talking about the mind. And when our mouths are full of complaints, that means that our heart, our mind, has some sinful attitudes that need to be dealt with. So we want to study this matter of complaining. Now, by the way, if you have King James, New King James, it probably has the word murmuring, and that's fine. That's a very good translation of that word, but it means the same thing. Murmuring and complaining are the same thing. Now, I want you to think about why complaining is wrong. When we complain about the weather, or complain about what we have to eat, or complain about whatever there is going on, what we're complaining about is the way God has made things. Complaints about things that are beyond our control, complaints about things in the world, are now, don't misunderstand me, when people are doing sinful things, we need to speak against that. But I'm just talking about how things are going in the world. That is a matter of complaining against God. You see, there are some people, my dad used to say this, and I love this statement, that there are some people who are born in the objective case and the kickety mood and weaned on a sour pickle. And everything that comes out of their mouths is negative. It's a complaint against everything that's going on. I want you to think about Israel in Exodus chapter 16. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt with a great deliverance. And you know the story, of course, there of their deliverance from Egypt in Exodus chapters 12 through 15. And that was a wonderful thing. They had been freed from a terrible slavery in which they had been crying out to God because of the terrible conditions they were going through in Egypt. Now, they had been doing the right thing then. They had been in terrible conditions, and instead of complaining, they prayed to God about it. They cried out to God because of their awful conditions. And when things are awful, it's right for us to pray to God about that. That's different from just complaining about it. But now they've only been in the wilderness for a month and a half. And they don't have food to eat. They don't realize all you got to do is pray to God. You don't have something to eat, pray to God about it. Do your best and pray to God about it. Instead, they started complaining about it. And they were complaining against Moses and against Aaron. Moses and Aaron were just men. Do you think they could feed that 2 to 3 million people that were going through the wilderness? And they knew they couldn't do that. But the Lord said their complaint is not against Moses. It's not just against Aaron. Their complaint is against me. And the Lord fed them. The Lord gave them the manna from heaven. But that was the beginning of something that lasted for 40 years of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And I want you to notice there in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, that Moses tells them, you're not just complaining against me. I can't feed you. You're not just complaining against Aaron. You're complaining against God. God is the one who delivered you. Now, they wanted to go back to Egypt because they had pots full of meat, they said. I doubt that. In Egypt. Wait a minute. You wanted to go back to slavery? You wanted to go back to all those things you cried out about? Of course, that was foolish. And oftentimes, complaining is just foolishness. It's irrational. It makes no sense. But their complaining was not just against men. Their complaining was against God. Now stop and think with me. Who is responsible for the weather? Who is responsible for the conditions that, whether we have enough food to eat, whether we have clothing, or who's ultimately responsible for that as far as having clothing, having food, having a nice place to live, or a roof over it? Who's responsible for that? Every good gift, this is James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above and is from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, or shadow cast by turning. I love that phrase, shadow cast by turning. How do they keep time at that time? They kept time by the sundial. And as the earth rotated, or as they would see it, as the sun moved across the heavens, then there was the shadow cast by turning, by the turning of the earth or by the movement of the sun, depending on your viewpoint. And that meant change. That's a change in time. But with God, there's no change. He's always the same. He never varies in His nature. He always is good. And He always wants what is good for His people. And He always does what is for the best for His people so far as our salvation is concerned. God always does that. And when we complain, when we gripe, when we moan, when we murmur, then we're complaining against the God of heaven who gives us everything that is good and everything that we need. So we need to remember that when we think about complaining. Now, if we complain against God, I want you to see what it shows. It shows, number one, that we are not grateful for what God has done for us. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Now, the people have been in the wilderness for a couple of years. They've come to Mount Sinai, and they're getting ready to go from Mount Sinai up to Kadesh Barnea, from which they would invade the land. And now they've been fed with manna. By the way, in Exodus 16, I skipped over that, that God gave the manna, which of course was the miraculous bread from heaven. And it says it tastes like pastry. I enjoy pastry for breakfast. I don't eat it very often because it's not good for me, but I enjoy pastry for breakfast. Well, they had it every day. And so far, after 2 years, they were sick of that pastry for breakfast. But instead of praying to God for something, they complained. They murmured. And they were ready again to go back to Egypt. And every time, see, go back to Egypt, which, by the way, is parallel. When we as Christians complaining about the way we have our lot, we're going to go back to the world and live in the world. They wanted to go back to Egypt, to the slavery that they had in Egypt. But once again, Moses points out to them, they're not just complaining against Moses, they're complaining against God, and they fail to show the gratitude that they should have for God. Of course, by the way, God told Moses, I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to give them meat, so much meat to eat that that's going to come out their noses and they'll be sick of it. And Moses didn't see how God could do that. Well, God fed them with manna in the wilderness for 40 years. What's giving some meat? What's so hard about that? Of course, quails came up and they went out and they killed a bunch of quails, brought them in to dry the meat. And while they were yet eating the meat, then the plague fell upon them, became sick, and many died because of their complaining against God. And by the way, they were called Kibroth Hataavah, what that place became called, which means the graves of greediness. They were not satisfied with the manna. They had to have meat in addition to the manna. And as the result, their graves were the graves of greediness. Kibroth Hataavah. Now, it also shows rebellion against God. Complaining is a manifestation of a rebellious attitude toward God. After they had come to Kadesh Barnea, now this was after 2 years in the wilderness. They've already been to Mount Sinai. Now they go up and to invade the land. And they come to Kadesh Barnea, which is the very southern extremity of the promised land. And Moses had sent out the 12 spies to see how they could take the land. And they had come back, this is in chapter 13, and 10 of the spies had brought an evil report. 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, brought a good report. And the 10 spies said, oh, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Why, they brought back, think about this, they brought back a bunch of grapes that they had to carry on a pole between 2 men. Now that's some bunch of grapes. I like to see that. But they were complaining because why the people are giants. They're great big people. And they have cities with walls up to heaven. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. We're too small. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't take that land. Now how much faith does that show in God? and they refused to go. And so the people once again began complaining against Moses, began complaining against Aaron. So it seemed that they were going to kill Moses and Aaron, their leaders. And they said, we want to go back to why in Egypt we had the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics and all that, those good things to eat. They forgot about slavery, of course. All those good things to eat. And here we're going to die in the wilderness, and our children are just going to be food for the buzzards out here in the wilderness. What did they do? They refused to go. They rebelled against God. When we start complaining about our lot, whatever goes on, you know, some people cannot be satisfied. I will make an application to us right here. I have heard people complain about the doctors and the medical facilities here in Baxter County. Not too long ago, I got an email from my young friend Chizuru Odomilan in Aba, Nigeria. He's the preacher there. And there was a young mother in that congregation who just had a baby and had found out that she had breast cancer and had no money to get treatment. And had she had the money to get treatment, there probably would have been no facilities that could give her adequate treatment. Now, oftentimes when I get emails like that, I send them around to some brethren to see if somebody wants to help out. And usually people do. In this case, I thought, there's nothing to be done. All we can do is pray to God for that young woman and for her baby. That's the situation in many places in the world. That's the situation among Christians. And those people, instead of complaining to God, they pray to God. Now, they ask for help when they can get it. Instead of complaining, they pray about it. And here we have, you know, when I got the call from Joe Davis a couple of years ago this month, about the possibility of coming to Mountain Home, I remembered North Arkansas from when I was a young fellow, a long time ago. And in Rogers, Arkansas, which is a bigger town than a Mountain Home. In Rogers, Arkansas, there was one doctor. And we had a sick baby. And we had to take that sick baby and sit in that clinic all day long and never got to see the doctor. And I think about, my, what wonderful doctors and medical facilities. It's just beyond my comprehension. When we moved back, I just looked around and wondered, have you seen the hospital up there? Well, I didn't know there's such a thing in North Arkansas. Have you seen all the doctors? Well, there's a doctor for every specialty you can think of. Have you seen all that? Well, how wonderfully blessed we are. And we complain and gripe about the things that we ought to be praising God and thanking God that we have all these wonderful things. So it's a manifestation of rebellion against God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, this was at the end of the 40 years of wandering. And Moses is looking back to what the generation that then had died had done 38 years before this at Kadesh Barnea. And he said, nevertheless, you would not go up. See, they complained and then they refused to go and take the land, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tent and said, because the Lord hates us. Well, God must hate us because we don't have what we want. Because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And by the way, they were destroyed. That is that generation, but I say more about that later. But that complaining was an attitude of rebellion. It shows unbelief. Lord, Moses said they did not believe the Lord. And that's the same instance there, Numbers chapter 14. This is at Kadesh Barnea. If we believe that God is the one who supplies all of our needs, and that we depend upon Him and He gives us, He's promised to give us the things that we need. And I didn't put Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, or verse 34 into the lesson. But whatever we need, God has promised to provide us. We have to pray for those things. We have to work. But these things, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things, I believe that's Matthew 6:33, check me on that, all these things will be provided to you. And things in that context is the material things of life that we need. If we'll put God first in our lives, never put Him second, put God ahead of our job, put God ahead of our recreation, put God first in our lives, put God ahead of our family. That if you put God first in our lives, He's promised us that we will have the things that we need. He hasn't promised us $1 million. He hasn't promised us a 60-inch color TV, but He's promised us the things that we need. We'll have those things. He will provide. And so when we complain, just as Israel complained at Kadesh Barnea, it shows our unbelief in the promise of God, and we're warned against that. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, here's what Moses said. Then the Lord said to Moses, or this is what the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the sign which I've performed for them?" Why, all the things that God had done to the world to show that He was caring for them, they would not be led to believe. And that has become, ever since, all through the history of Israel and now through 2,000 years of the history of the Lord's church, that has become the great example of rebellious unbelief, because that which was witnessed by they're complaining against the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter. Now, by the way, he's quoting Psalm 95, which in Psalm 95 is talking about what took place in Numbers chapter 14. And the writer of the Hebrew letter says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." And he's talking about Numbers 14. "As in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me." When we complain, we're testing God's patience. "Tried me." We're trying God's patience with us. "And saw my works 40 years. Well, how much has God blessed us? Yet we test Him and try Him with our complaining. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." I pray that God doesn't swear in His wrath about us, that we won't enter His rest, that is heaven, because of our complaining attitude, which shows a heart of unbelief. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one of the daily watches called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And it shows disobedience to God. God told them to go up and take the land, and they refused to do it. By the way, after God had cursed them because of their unbelief, and many people had died, and the 10 spies had died because of their evil report, then they decided they wanted to go up. God said, "I'm not going to go with you, don't go." But they tried to go anyway. Many were killed and had to flee. But they were in disobedience against God. And to complain against those who are doing God's work is to complain against God. I appreciate Brother Lynn every time he leads a public prayer. He prays for Joe and me as the elders of the church. And I appreciate that so very much. In being an elder of a local church, it's a burden. Joe understands this. I understand it. Carol Stansbury understands this. It's a burden. It's a burden that we ask for. I'm not complaining, but it's a burden. And every day of the year, there's not one day that goes by when I get out of bed in the morning, I pray to God, and I pray to God that He will help Joe Davis and Keith Sharp to be good elders, to be good shepherds of the flock, to do what is best for the congregation, to make decisions that will be helpful and not harmful. It's a weight. It's a weight we ask for. Neither one of us complained about it. We better not. But it's a weight. When I preach the gospel, the souls of men and women are at stake. My responsibility is to be a faithful messenger. There's nothing complicated about being a preacher. Everything that I'm to preach is right here. If I preach anything I can't prove from this, then I am an unfaithful messenger. There's nothing complicated about it. But it is an awesome responsibility, because there's such a temptation to smooth over the things that people don't want to hear. And sometimes just not say anything about those things. You can preach the truth, but not all the truth. Or water it down. Or gloss it over. You know, that's what the denominations do. They preach truth, but they don't preach all the truth. And that's what some of the brethren, a lot of the brethren do. They preach truth, but not all the truth. But my obligation is to preach all the truth. Paul was not responsible for any who were lost because he had not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. That's an awesome responsibility. And I, every single day of the year, I pray to the Lord that I might be a good preacher, that I might try to reach the lost here and to build up God's people. And I appreciate so much men like Brother Lynn who will pray in our behalf. And Joe and I are not brilliant. We don't claim to be brilliant. We're doing the best that we can. And we ask for your prayers. We ask for your advice. In enlarging this building, I've told people repeatedly, my experience as a builder, I one time built a shed for a Shetland pony. And the first fellow that saw it said, "That looks like a baby Jesus manger." And by the way, it did. That's my experience as a builder. I know I don't know anything about it. Joe says he doesn't. And we've asked for the help of men who do know something about it. And we've had some good help for the men of the congregation. Feel free to give advice. Feel free to make suggestions. Feel free to point out where we could have done a better job here. But please don't be complainers, because we're simply trying to be God's servants doing God's work. If you have a suggestion, come to Joe or me. If you have a suggestion about my preaching, if you have a lesson that you think needs to be preached, come tell me about it. If it's in the Bible and I know anything about it, I'll preach on it. Now, I've made that promise a lot of places, including gospel meetings. When people, what are you going to preach, Keith? What's needed there? If it's in the Bible and I know anything about it, I'll do my best to bring a lesson on it. And if I don't know something about it, if it's in the Bible, I'll do my best to learn all about it before I come. I promise you that. Pray for us. Don't complain against us. In Numbers chapter 16 verses 1 through 11, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Korah, well, he was a Levite. But it wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to be a priest. He says, "Why, Moses and Aaron, you take too much on yourself. We want to be priests. We want to offer incense to the Lord." And they rebelled against the Lord's arrangement of things and complaining against Moses and complaining against Aaron. And by the way, the Lord opened the mouth of the land and it swallowed up Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and all their houses, and closed back over them because of their complaining against God's servants who were doing His work. When we do this, we're guilty of tempting or trying the Lord. We bring upon ourselves destruction. That's what happened. I've got up here Numbers chapter 14, verses 27 through 37. Now, that's where the children of Israel, all except for Joshua and Caleb, died. All of that generation, who were 20 years of age and older, died in the wilderness because they complained against the Lord and showed their rebellion. 603,550 fighting men left Egypt, ages 20 to 60. You can read that in Numbers chapter 1, verse 46. Of that 603,550 fighting men who left Egypt, two made it to Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. The rest died in the wilderness because of their rebellious unbelief manifested in their constant complaining. Numbers chapter 16, verses 44 through 49 is where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were killed. And the message is a message for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul brings the Israelite wilderness wandering as an example to us. He first, in verses 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, shows five ways in which God blessed all of Israel. Then, in beginning in verse 5, going down through verse 10, he shows five ways in which most of them sinned. It's all but two. Five ways in which most of them sinned. And the last of those, verse 10, is what we want to look at. Nor complain, or murmur, if you have the King James, New King James, or nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them as examples. And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. They're recorded for our benefit. We live in the last age of this world. And these things happen so that we can know about them and we can benefit. And what's the lesson? Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Whatever you do, brother, sister, don't be a complainer. That shows an attitude that does not appreciate the things of God, does not appreciate those who serve God. I love a story from my father when I was just a boy. In fact, it may have been when I was just a small infant, but nonetheless, he was out with some men on a fox hunt in central Arkansas. And what they would do, I never went on one of those. What they would do is sit around a campfire and listen to the dogs chase the fox. And some, oh, that's old Blue over there, you know, and talk about whose dog it was. And he was camped out several days that way. And so he was selected as the one that would prepare the meals. But in doing that, they made an agreement that anybody complained about the meal got the job of preparing the meals. And so my dad was pretty shrewd about things. He fixed him some beef stew and he dumped a whole box of salt into it. Intentionally. It wasn't accident, it was intentional. He's mean. Dumped a whole box of salt into it and stirred it all in where you couldn't see it, of course. And then the first fellow that took a bite said, "Oh, that's the saltiest stew I ever ate, but just the way I like it." Well, he was careful not to be a complainer. He didn't want the job. Well, if you don't want the job, don't complain about who's doing it. If you don't think the building was clean good enough, it's your job then. You get to clean the building. If you don't like the song leading, well, you try it. You get to do it. If you don't like the preacher, come on up and try it. You know, if you don't like what's going on, you do it. Those who do the least complain the most. Isn't that right? That's true almost anywhere. Well, no, almost true. Anywhere you go. Those that do the least complain the most. Don't complain about the Lord. And don't complain about those who are doing the Lord's work. All right, let's draw this all to a conclusion. What do we want in this congregation? My daughter teaches school, and there's some school teachers in this audience, you relate to this. She is the only Christian in that school. And so these are people of the world who act like people of the world. And their attitudes stink. And there's constant complaining and griping and backbiting and arguing and selfishness. It just, and I'm not talking about the kids, I'm talking about the faculty. That's constant. Now, unfortunately, that's the world. We know that's the world. Do you want a church like that? Now, if we are a church full of complainers, that's what we've got. A church just like the world, full of complaining and arguing. I don't want that. I don't want it in my family, and I don't want it in the congregation. We need to be people who appreciate each other, appreciate what we do for each other, and above all, appreciate the Lord and what he's done for us. So, let's just, each one of us, includes Keith. Yes, Keith's done some complaining. Each one of us, ask ourselves, if every member of the congregation were just like me, what kind of a congregation would this be? Would it be just a bunch of arguing, complaining, fussing, feuding, and fighting? Are we to be people who are appreciative of what the Lord has done for us? Appreciative of one another? A joyful people? A working people? A people on the way to heaven? Well, the choice is ours.